Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of a city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
What comes out of my mouth would penetrate the hearts of these people and challenge them and build their faith today. In the name of Jesus, everyone says, amen. So we're talking about the voice. How many words do you guys think the average human hears in a day? A lot. I like that guess. That's a good estimate. Let's start throwing out some numbers. How many think we hear 10 words in a day, 25 words in a day, 50,000, 60,000, 30,000? It depends if you're married. Oh, I would challenge that and say it depends if you live with your parents. I'm just kidding. Unity. Okay. The average human, this is a statistic done by some sciencey people. The average human hears about 100,000 words in a single day. In a single day. Unless you work in retail, then you have the customers complaining and you have to deal with that. And so you probably hear, 100 quadrillion million words in a day. A customer comes in, I'm the customer, and I spent $1 on this product, and I expect the best service, and I'm being treated so unfairly. I can't believe I can't get a refund. Ma'am, you bought a pack of gum. It's half chewed. I want a refund. I want my money back. Okay, can I see the product? No, I threw it away. But I want my money back. Well, I can't give you money back. This horrible cut. I'm going to go on Yelp and write a review about the... Ma'am, this is Dollar Tree. No, I'm going to write a review. You guys are going out of business. I'm going to get the BBB on you. Like, what? What are you talking about? Okay. So I work... Some of you guys know I work full-time at the... mattress firm. We used to be Sleep Country USA, and then we were Sleep Train, and now we're Mattress Firm. Who knows where we're going to be next? It changes every week, corporations and stuff. But, there was one time I was making phone calls because we work at a delivery service. We deliver mattresses. So we call customers and say, hey, here's your time frame. If you like it, cool. If you don't, come pick it up, So I called this lady, and I was like, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to call, let you know your time frame is between, 6 at night to 8 at night. And she lost it. She got so mad. She was like, you know what? You guys have done this to me 3 times now. 3 times you've done this, and I bought my mattress, and it was $75, and I want it delivered to my house, and blah, blah, blah. Just super mad. And where was I even going? The time frame, yeah. And I'm thinking, lady, we work on efficiency. If we cater to every need of everyone, everyone would want it in the morning at the same time. We'd have to get 100 trucks, I don't even know where I was going with that. I had to listen to her complain for a good hour talking about how she's the most important person in the world. Just spewing out words. I'm important. I'm the customer. Customer's always right. Not really, but in this case, I guess she was. Whatever. I had to listen to it for like 40 minutes just yelling at me. I think it's even a lot more for young people, kids that are in school, college kids, because you have to listen to... your teachers talk about weird stuff all day, I can honestly say that my math teacher that says, you might use it someday, no, I haven't. If you're listening, Mrs. Fifth Grade Teacher, I've still never used fifth grade math. Fifth grade math plus I've never used. I don't really even use math anyway. What's 1 plus 10? 10? What did I just say? I don't even know. See, numbers aren't my strong suit. Okay. Woo, here we go. So for your older people... For you older people, you guys have to listen to your boss all the time. Okay? You walk into work, you punch the clock, I found a picture of the average American boss, Aaron, if you can throw that up there. You get into work and he says, finish your paperwork, organize your desk, go to this meeting, fix the economy, end world hunger, stop ISIS. You hear so much from your boss that you're just like, why? Leave me alone. Please go away. And after your boss, after you have to listen to your boss for so long, complaining about how horrible you are, you go home. After a long day's work, and how many guys and girls, I suppose, after a long day's work, you don't want to go home and do anything. You just want to sit down and relax and kind of decompress. Well, for you guys, guess what? You get home, you sit down in your nice leather recliner, and then your wife comes up, honey, you can't believe what the kids did, You get home and then you hear your wife, we gotta fix the leak in the house. Kids plugged up the toilet, you gotta fix it. We need to repaint the roof. We need to go buy some groceries. You gotta deal with the kids. They've been getting on my nerve all day. And then your kids, if you have kids, they get into the action. Dad, or mom, shout out to the single moms. Dad, little Susie broke my toy. Little Susie punched me. Dad, I want to go outside. But mom said, no. Dad, the dog looked at me funny. Dad, I think I broke my arm, but I'm not sure. Can you kiss it better? You know, you just want to decompress. You just want to relax a little bit. But all these words are being thrown at your face. And you're just like, please let me sit down a little bit. For me, back when I lived with my parents, I would come home from a long day's work. And the first thing I would hear is, Brandon, fix the computer. The computer is broken. I'm like, okay. I get home, the first thing I hear, can you fix the computer? Why isn't it typing? I'm moving the mouse, but it's not working. You broke the computer by that Mozilla Firefox virus you downloaded. It's a virus. It's not turning on. Why isn't the Wi-Fi working? Is the computer on? No, but it's not working. You gotta turn the computer on first. For you adults, after you take care of your wife and your kids, you sit down to enjoy some relaxing TV, and oh no, it's another Republican debate. Another one. You get to listen to Donald Trump. I don't have anything against Donald Trump. I think he's a beautiful man, you know, but for the Republican debate, they seem a lot like a conversation between me and my siblings, you know. So, Mr. Brandon, Chris says he should be the president of the room because he has more cookies than you, and he is self-funding his elementary campaign. How do you respond? Well, don't get me wrong, I love Chris, but he can never be president of the room because he's a doo-doo head, okay? That's his biggest downfall. Okay, Chris, how do you respond? I like bananas, you know. That kind of seems like the Republican debate a little bit, you know. You get to listen to a lot of words, and then after 7 hours of TV, 7 hours of a Republican debate, you get to go to bed, and then guess what? You wake up the next morning, you get to do it all over again. Words thrown in your face nonstop. I get to go to work today and get to call that lady again, you know, for the 100th time and get to have her yell at me for another hour. Words thrown at our face. There's so much being fed into our days every year, but do you guys know that there's a difference between what we hear and what we listen to? You can hear all sorts of things, but you have to choose what you listen to. You may hear your boss explain everything you're supposed to do. You got to get this paperwork done. You got to get this done. You got to do that assignment. But then you find out if you were listening come the quarterly meeting and all of management and the CEO is giving you that look. Why didn't you do your paperwork? You finish your assignment. You know if you were hearing or if you were listening. You know, your kids may hear you say, have a good day at school, be good, but then when you get that call from the principal, your kid beat up 7 people, he's expelled. You know if they were just hearing you or they were listening to you. My first thing would be, you beat up 7 kids? Dude, gangster. I mean, no, that's bad. That's not gangster. That's don't beat up people. I went out to eat with Dylan. Some of you guys know Dylan. Some of you don't. He's a good friend. I met him in freshman year. He's a great guy. I went out to eat with him before he left for basic training in a crowded restaurant. It was Black Bear Diner down Burnside. Great place. Go eat there. But as we entered the restaurant, I could hear babies crying. I could hear couples flirting. I could hear, you know, people arguing. I could hear so much stuff going around me, but in that moment, I said, you know what, I'm going to choose to listen to Dylan. I don't need to listen to know that there's a baby in the restaurant. I don't need to listen to know that there's, you know, people arguing. I don't need to listen to know that there's all this noise going on. Hearing, here, get this, people, if you're writing notes, write this down. Hearing requires no effort, but listening does. I don't need to try to hear that baby screaming. I can hear it. Trust me, I can hear it. I don't need to listen to people arguing. I can hear it just naturally, just walking in there. But I have to listen to Dylan because he could pour his whole heart out to me, all his hopes and dreams for an hour, and then I could turn around and say, what, I wasn't listening. Sorry, I could hear you, but I wasn't listening to you. If I didn't purpose myself to listen to Dylan, his voice would have been drowned out by all the other noise that doesn't matter. It's not that he was not right in front of me speaking. It's that I wasn't listening. It's that I wasn't tuning my ears to what he had to say. Just like this radio. Let me turn the volume up a little bit. Is that coming out the mains? Can you guys hear that? Just like this radio, I can choose to listen to whatever I want. Right now it's on country because I love country. Who likes country? Shout out to the country people. Okay, who hates country? Sinner, sinner, we'll pray for you guys, okay? Okay, so this is country right here. Let's, what else should we listen to? Static, I like static. 100.5, how about that? Ooh, is that Maroon 5? Okay, name out some stations, guys. Let's look something up. 99.1? 89.1? 89.1, is that jazz? Jazz, ew. Jazz is like music, but not good. 98, not 89? 80. I think this is satanic music. Okay, give me some more radio stations, guys. Let's look something up. 104.1. You guys are like making me go all over the place. What is 104.1? Isn't that the salmon? Here we go. 104.1.
Sheriff, how about you? Do you have some debt you'd like to wipe out?
No. Okay. Give me some more radio stations, guys. Let's find one more. 106. Oh, too far. 106.7. What is that?
Me too. Completing my dream road trip, I was solo.
That's cool.
I was never alone.
Yeah, you probably
your
were.
Car is as much a part of reaching your dreams.
No,
as
it's
it
not.
A dream itself.
Mm-mm. Nope, you forgot God. Okay, what else should we look up? One more, and then we'll be done. 95.5? Is that the twerk music? It's trash? That is savage. Okay, you can go ahead and mute it. Yeah, go ahead and mute that. I don't want to hear that. Bottoms up. I hope he's talking about like Coca-Cola or something. I don't know. Just like this radio, there's always something going on. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's bottoms up, some of it's country because country is the best, you know. I'll pray for you guys after the sermon because you guys are weird. Funny story about country. I used to hate country. You know, just like you sinners. I used to hate country. But then Dylan, he used to hate country too. He said, he came up to me, he's like, Brandon, I had this revelation from God the Father. Okay, listen to the song. And I was like, is it country? And he was like, yeah. And I said, I'm not going to listen to it. And he said, no, you got to listen to it. So he listened to it. It was Springsteen by Eric Church. And he played it, and I was like, this is stupid. And then I heard it, and I was like, this is amazing. Wow. And in that very moment, this thing kind of switched in my brain, and all of a sudden I loved all country. Country that I hated, I all of a sudden was like, yeehaw. This is amazing. I love this. Just like this radio, we can choose to go whatever station we want. We can choose to twerk. We can choose to yeehaw. We can do whatever we want. It works the same way with God. We can choose if we want to listen to God's station or Satan's station or Earth's station. We can listen to whatever we want. We can choose whether to be in tune with God or not. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. It doesn't say set your mind on things above and things on earth. It says you got to make a choice because if you don't make a choice, something's going to get drowned out. Because there's so much noise going on in this world that if we don't purpose ourselves to listen to God, it's going to get drowned out. We got to make a conscious decision that, you know what, I'm going to set my mind on things above and I'm not going to set my mind on things of earth. So right now I'm going to tune into God and see what he has to say about me. Hello? Maybe he's sleeping. Hello?
Hello, Brandon.
Hey, God. I've just had like the worst day of my life. My boss hates me, my family is a mess, and I feel like my life is a waste, and there's no point in me even trying anymore.
Brandon, I knew you before you were born. I know, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I have the hairs on your head numbered. I know all of your dreams, all of your hopes. I know the situation feels hopeless, but I just want to remind you, I'm on your team. I have made you more than a conqueror through my son, Jesus. I know things may get your hopes down, but believe me, it'll all work out for your good.
Wow. Thanks, God. That is awesome. Everyone give it up for God. Isn't he nice? He totally made me happy, you know? That's what happens when you open up your Bible and choose to listen to God. But you have to make the choice. You begin to understand what he thinks about you and how much he cares and loves you. But sometimes we lose focus, our tune gets kind of messed up. We get bogged down and distracted by the cares of the world, and pretty soon we stop reading our Bibles because we don't have time. We don't have time, I love it, I'll read it tomorrow. Or I don't have to read it. And I love this one. Probably the most famous one is, I get enough Bible at church. What? Really? Are you serious? The point of church, the point of preaching, the point of Pastor Bob, the point of all of this is not for you to get a good word Sunday, but the point of this is for you to get a good word Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. Come on, am I preaching? What? Come on, I just had GU. You guys, I'm a youth teacher, preacher, whatever I am. If I get loud, you guys got to get loud. And then when you guys get loud, I get louder. And everyone gets so loud, and then this place just explodes. Come on, that's a cue for you guys to get loud. Can somebody get loud in this place? Come on. If you just rely on Sunday morning, you know what? How many of us want to eat one meal a week and survive? No, it doesn't work like that. You'll die. So why do we do that to our spirit? How come we rely on one message a week, feeding our spirit one time a week, and we say it's good enough? No, it's not. Your spirit's dead, and you don't even know it. Woo, okay, here we go. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, and Saturday morning, so that when you get back here on Sunday, you're already filled with the Spirit of God. You're ready to worship. You're ready to go. You're ready to hear what God has to say for you. All right, you're not relying on Pastor Bob to baby feed you the word because you already have it inside of you. You're not relying on these guys to take care of you. Whew. You know what? I just wonder if all of us were being honest and came up to him after service and said, you know what, Pastor Bob? Thanks for taking care of me and my spiritual needs. I know I'm a 35-year-old man, but thanks for taking care of me. Thanks for feeding me every Sunday. Ooh. You know, the real victory isn't when you get a good word Sunday, it's when you get a good word Monday. The real victory isn't when God touches you on Sunday, it's when he touches you Monday. That's where the victory is. You can't rely on one meal a week. And you know what happens is the enemy knows that we stop listening to God, and you know what he does? He starts to take us further and further and further and further away from the God channel until we can't even listen to him anymore because we're so far away. Eventually, we can't even hear him anymore. And we convince ourselves that we're okay. We think to ourselves, you know, I'll just stick close to the God channel so maybe I can still hear him. I'll be okay. It doesn't seem like a big deal to start listening to other channels. Not just hearing, but listening, giving your attention to other channels. All of a sudden, you start listening to country. All of a sudden, you start listening to Justin Bieber. All of a sudden, you start listening to all these other stations, and you stop listening to God. Pretty soon, we start to like other channels more than the God channel. I have a story, you know. Working at this mattress company, obviously there's perks. We got a new mattress back from a customer, and it had a defect. They were going to throw it away. It was like a little tear in the side, you know, nothing at all, barely. It was like, you guys are going to throw that away? Guess how much this mattress was? $3,000. They were going to chuck it away. This is a million-dollar company. They don't care. They're not going to miss it. And I was like, hello? Little background. I had been sleeping on a mattress, and this is ghetto, all right? Get ready. I'm from Rockwood, all right? So loosen up a little. I was sleeping on a mattress that's been in my family for 20 years. Since I was born, we've had the same mattress. My older brother used it. Once he moved out, I used it. It was so horrible that if you tried to lay down on it, Ben's laid on it, he can tell you, the metal springs literally pierce your skin. It's horrible. I laid down like 6 layers of blankets and then put the cover on just so that I could fall asleep at night. It was bad. And you know what? When I got that new mattress and I laid down on it, I did not like it. It was a Simmons Beautyrest Black Series, whatever, a bunch of weird words I didn't care about. I did not like it. You know why? It's because my body was not used to it. It wasn't fun for the first few nights, but you know what? It was so much better once I realized it. I think it works the same way with God. You know, we get so far away, and then finally once we get back, we don't like it because we're not used to it because we've been so far away from it. Some of you guys have never even experienced God, and for the first week, for the first month, for the first year, he's going to start chipping things away to try to make your life better, and it's going to hurt at first, and you're not going to like it at first. We set our minds off of things above, and we set our minds on things of earth. And the next time a situation comes around and you choose not to be on the God channel, the devil will start saying stuff to you. So, you know, for me, if I'm out of God's will and I'm not on the God channel and I say something like, you know what, this day is just the worst ever. Life sucks.
Yeah, man, you're pretty stupid and ugly.
What?
You heard me. You're really not good at anything. Why do you still try? You will never be loved. Your parents don't even love you. Your kids don't love you. You're a complete waste of space and would be better off if you were dead.
Oh, savage. Yeah, but you know what? You know what? God told me that I was important.
Well, God was wrong. In fact, God doesn't even exist. It's stupid to believe there is a thing called God.
What? And you see, that's what happens when you're not on God channel. Pretty soon, the devil will start saying stuff to you like that. He'll say, God is wrong. God's not real. God doesn't care about you. God didn't answer you the first time. He's not going to answer you the second time. God didn't answer that prayer the first day after you prayed it. He's not going to answer it a year after. God doesn't care. And pretty soon, the first time, because you've been on the God channel, you know God's voice. So the first time it happens, you say, you know what? Devil, go away. I just had GU. I just had this amazing experience. I know God loves me. Devil, get away. For the first day, you're fine. Oh, but a week later, once your spirit man is starved for a week and you're not as strong and you haven't heard God, and the devil comes back around after a long day's work and you're frustrated and you say, this sucks. The devil comes in and says, yeah, you suck. And you can say, yeah, well, I had that great experience at Generation Unleashed. I had a great Sunday service. I cried. I came to the altar. But so, I don't know, maybe God still has a plan for your life. And a month down the road, you get in a car accident and you lose your car. You start to say things like, well, maybe God has a plan for it. I know God cares about me. Then a year later, you lose your pet dog. You know, something crazy happens and you say, you know what? This isn't just looking up, and the devil knows that for so long you have not been on God's channel that you can't even understand his voice anymore. You just hear it, but it doesn't penetrate your heart. You're not listening to it. So you know what he does? He comes in and he says, you're useless. You don't have a purpose. You don't have a hope. You don't have a future. And we say, you're right. I don't have a future. And you know what gets me is that the whole time that the devil is feeding you lies, God is right there saying, hey, come back to me. Hey, I'm right here. Hey, why did you leave me? I still love you. I still have a plan for you. I know it's not going how you expected, but guess what? It didn't go how Joseph expected. He ended up in prison when I gave him promises to be a prince. Ooh, some of you guys are called to be a prince, and right now you're in prison, and you're blaming God. But you know what God says? This is the process of perfection. I planned you to go through this so that you can come up stronger than if you wouldn't have gone through this. Some prisons are meant to chip away things that we don't need, chip away things that would hold us back. And we hate it. We hate the process of perfection. We don't want God to chip things away from us. We don't want God to work on the inside of us. Hello, am I preaching good? No one's booed me yet, so I guess I'm doing okay. Change your channel back to God. Change it back to the God station and hear what God wants to tell you instead of what Satan wants to tell you. We don't like to go back to the God channel because we're afraid of what will happen when we switch back to it. We're afraid of what will happen when we humble ourselves and say, God, I'm sorry today I come back to you. The enemy, the enemy hears you say that. You know why the Bible says proclaim? Because the enemy hears us. God wants us to verbalize, just like Kayla talked about. God wants us to verbalize so that the devil knows. I am a child of God. You know what happens when you say that? The devil gets afraid. You know what happens when you don't say that? The devil knows you didn't say it. The devil knows that you're not proclaiming you're a child of God. The devil knows that you're not proclaiming the promises of your life, and he loves to get in there and remind you, not remind you, but lie to you that you don't have a plan. And maybe it all was just bogus. The enemy says things like, you can't go back to God because you're too far gone. You can't go back to God because you've sinned too much. You can't go back to God because he won't listen to you. He didn't listen to you the first time. He's not going to listen to you again. You can't go back to God because your grace has run out. You can't go back to God because he didn't answer your prayer the first time. What makes you think he'll answer this time? See, Satan has a great way of saying you can't, when all the while God has a great way of saying you can. Come on, let's get excited in this place. I just had GU. I'm pumped. You guys should get pumped too. This is GU for the adults. All right, let's go. I love it because we love to point the finger at God and complain, but you know what's funny? God's right here. You know what's crazy? God never left you. You left God. God never changed stations. You did. It's as simple as a click of a button to get back to God. I love it because people will complain, well, God's not talking to me. God's not answering my prayers. God's not speaking into my life. No. He is. You just can't hear him. Because you decided to get off of the God channel. You can't even hear him anymore. And you know what? Maybe God would talk to you. No, maybe he's always talking to you, but maybe you would hear him if you just changed your life back to him. If you switched back over to the God channel, maybe you would hear him. It's as simple as the click of a button. It's as simple as a prayer saying, God, I come back to you. And the next time the devil tries to tell you you're not important, you're so full of the word of God, you can say, no, I am important. I am more than a conqueror. I have victory over the obstacles of this life through the blood of Jesus. I have a place in heaven. I am alive with Christ. I am free from sin and death. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm holy before God. I'm a child of God. I am a new creation. I am God's workmanship. I am strengthened by his power. And most of all, I am loved by a God unconditional. I'm feeling it. I am loved by the God of this universe, the one that created us. He knows me. He has my hairs numbered. He loves me. He's calling me. I just need to align myself with him, not the other way around. You come to God because God never left. We are not chasing God. No, God's chasing us. I am loved. I love the Message Bible. I'm going to be reading this out of the Message Bible. It's Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. It says, call to me. It doesn't say, I'll call you whenever I have time. I'm a little busy right now, but maybe I'll call you, child. Maybe I'll call you on your cell phone, you know. You guys don't get it. It's Drake. He came out with a new song, you know. It doesn't say that God will call you. No, it says call after God. Why does it say that? I think it says that because we are the ones that fall away from God. And I think it says you call after God because if it says that, because it knows that we fell away. It doesn't say God will call after you. No, because he's always calling after you. It says you call after him because when you're ready to receive God, he's right there waiting for you. Call to me and I will answer. This is a promise of God. Cling to it. This shows me that God is waiting for us. It's not that he's not talking to the world, it's that this world is not listening. We don't want to hear God. We don't want to be changed. We like our sin. We don't want to listen. Do you guys want to close your eyes and we'll stand up? bring the light, the house lights down, and get in the atmosphere of worship right now. If you are out of tune, if your phone is on silent, you will miss the call. God is calling all of us, and if you're out of tune, you're going to miss it. And you're going to point your finger at God, and you're going to blame him, but no, 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 no. God is calling after you. People get frustrated and blame God for failure, but the failure is not God. The failure is that you walked this out on your own, and for some reason it's not working. That's because you were never meant to walk it alone. The second part of the verse, it says, I will show you marvelous things that you could never figure out on your own. I think God was smart. I don't think he's a stupid God. I think he knows that we weren't meant to walk this out on our own. And some of you guys are trying to walk this out on your own, and you're getting frustrated, and you're blaming God. And God says, hey, you want to walk this out? You want to live right? You want to be a child of God? You want to do miraculous signs and wonders? You want to raise the dead? You want to get people healed? Get in my word. Pray to me. You walked away from me. Today, God's calling you back. Whew. I love the verse, the couple verses in Genesis, if we can all close our eyes. Genesis paints a beautiful picture. Right after man sinned, he hid. After we sin, our natural reaction is to hide. It says that God walked in the garden and called out to Adam, where are you? God didn't call out, I'm angry at you. God didn't call out, I'm going to get you, you're going to hell. God didn't say that. He said, where are you? Isn't it amazing that every time we sin and hide, God comes running after us and he says, where are you? God doesn't come after us and say, I know what you did, you're going to hell. I'm going to get you. You're going to pay for what you did. No, it says, where are you? I remember it was at a GU conference years ago, back when I was 13 years old, going to be a freshman in high school. I dedicated my life to Christ. I said, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian. And in that moment, I understood that all my life, God had been calling out to me saying, where are you? And I said, here I am. And he said, I love you. Everyone close your eyes, bow your heads. We're going to, obviously, I don't need to know what you're going through. I'm not here to get the dirty on your life. That's not what this is about. This is about getting right before God. And no one's looking around. This is just between you and God right now. But you know what? There's some people here that you've been frustrated with life. You've been so angry at God for not answering your prayers. And today God says, hey, I've been answering them. You just can't see them. Hey, I've been speaking to you. You just can't hear me. Today God's calling you back home. It's funny because every time the Spirit pulls on my heart, I know that it's talking to me. I know that you're not in this place and you're saying, well, I think he's talking to me. No, you know, because the Spirit is inside of you. Your heart's thumping. You know that what I'm saying, you know that what the Holy Spirit is saying is directly aimed at your heart. If that's you in this place, the prayer team can come up. If that's you in this place, I want you to be bold. I want you to take the first step of saying, I'm going to tune into God right now. I want you to raise your hand up. No one's looking around. Don't be nervous. Raise your hand. If you want to retune your life, only young people in this room. All the adults are perfect. I know there's more. Humble yourself. Thank you. I'm going to challenge you. Not because I want to embarrass you, but I feel like it's what God wants me to do. Come on up. It just takes one person to be bold. Once the one person comes, the rest will follow. Trust me, it happens every time. Thank you for being bold. Thank you for being bold. One person came up. Thank you for being bold. Two people came up. I know you're out there. Two people came up. No one's looking at you. Thank you. I know there's a couple more. I'll give you a minute. Be bold. Take that first step. No one's looking at you. No one wants to embarrass you. We're not here to embarrass. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Father, I pray for these people right here, right now, that were bold. God, I pray for everyone in this room. I pray for everyone in this room that you meet them where they're at. God, that you open their eyes, open their ears to understand that you have been calling them all along. God, I pray, Father, I pray that you open their hearts. Open their hearts, God. Penetrate their hearts. Let them understand who you say they are, not who the devil says they are. Holy Spirit, come invade this place. Holy Spirit, come invade this place. God, you're here. We thank you that today we rededicate and we tune in on you. Nobody looking around. If you're here and you haven't given your life to Christ, and today you want to make that commitment. Maybe you've been out of tune all your life, and today you want to make that commitment that I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you in this place, just raise your hand up. I'm not going to call you forward. Anyone here for the first time want to give their life to Christ? Anybody? Next group of people, if you're here and you say, yeah, I've been out of tune. I've been way out of tune. I need to get right with God. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise your hand up. If you want to get back in tune with God, just raise your hand up. Today is the day you say, I want to get back with God. Amen.
If anybody else needs prayer, certainly come forward. Hallelujah. The guy's good, huh? That's what your teenagers get every Wednesday night. Come on, you can give him a big hand this morning. Come on. He doesn't pull any punches. He's been doing a series called Your Best Life Ever.